This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 339. Salmon in your ramen and a box of wine. That's gaming on a budget. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to another brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
Panda.
Hello.
What you doing?
Just hanging out after Mom's Day.
Nice. Nice. You know what I'm doing?
Hanging out after Mom's Day?
Yeah. How'd you know that?
Like, I'm a fucking psychic. I just know things.
Oh my god. You're like brilliant and stuff.
I try. I don't always succeed.
Accomplish.
I think it's this new little hat that I like to rock.
It is a little hat.
I think it has tapped into my cerebellum and now I see things with my eyes.
I feel like it has tapped into your inner Englishman and brought it out, which just automatically...
I do like myself a nice cup of Earl Grey tea.
It just makes
you... Or PG Tips.
Black tea. Delicious! But not nearly as delicious as all the nerdery that we have in store for you guys this week. So we're going to jump right in, and I'm going to let Panda go first because I've kind of been not doing that a lot lately.
You mean you've kind of been being a podcast hog lately?
I have kind of...
You haven't let me, like, say more than, like, two sentences ever in, like, the last two episodes?
No, you've gotten more than two sentences.
I know, I'm just kidding.
But I have been a little bit of a pod hog.
That's okay, I don't mind.
I've just been really excited and had a lot of stuff to talk about.
You often don't have much to say. So it's okay when you want to jump in when you've got a lot to say.
I had like a lot. Like so much stuff
to
say.
Dude, I'm not mad at you, so.
But
are you going to let me go first now?
I'm going to let you go first right now.
Wonderful. So I know not last week because that was our Mother's Day show, or the week before that, which was our other regular show.
It was a show that we did.
It was
did
a show that was
that not
we did.
About our mom.
But I think the week before that, I talked about my shit that I dig being this anime series that I did not get a chance to talk about 3 weeks ago.
Sure, that sounds
window. It sounds legit.
I mean, I would believe it.
So I want to talk a little bit about this anime I've been watching on Ninja's Crunchyroll account called Attack on Titan.
Oh, was this one of those series that I told you to watch?
Yes.
And then you were like, I was going to watch it, and you didn't watch it, so then I made you watch the episode?
Yes.
And then you were like...
I have to watch this.
Yeah.
And then I did.
Okay.
It is simulcasting right now, so they do not have all of them up for viewing pleasure.
Correct. It's a noob.
It's pretty new. And it's to the point where, actually, because I was going to watch one today.
Yeah.
And they had to delay when the newest episode would be aired for simulcast over at Crunchyroll. And I'd love to know exactly why, but I haven't done my research to figure out
what
the
problem. Wait, they delayed it? It's not out yet?
They delayed it, yeah. So
what?
So episode 6 it was not available this morning.
I need to watch it!
But it's probably available now by the time you all are listening to this podcast.
Oh, we gotta watch it!
Well, I mean, you're about to spoil something really big, so I'm probably going to spoil
something. I'm going to spoil the Jesus out of it.
Out of your topic later, and I'm ready for that.
Okay, good.
So, anyway, so Attack on Titan literally puts us in a world where humanity has had to all hurtle together, essentially, and build these massive walls in order for them to survive, because there are these giants...
Titans, if you will.
Well, the original translation of the Japanese name was Ascending Giants or Attacking Giants. So these giants or titans are roaming around the earth, and it seems like their sole purpose for existence is just pure gluttony in the fact of eating humans. Like, they don't eat animals, they're not usually generally destructive, they are just roaming around for the sole purpose of devouring humanity. And humanity has been, you know, perishing off at the hands and mouths of these titans and these giants, and they still haven't made, you know, enough of an advancement to really fight them, so they've built these massive walls and these cities within these walls in order for them to thrive and exist. And our protagonist, his name is Eren, he is kind of your typical kid, kind of arguing with his mom that first day, you know, like, I'm going to do what I want, and goes off with this very attractive little girl following him, because they're pretty young at the start of the series, and an attack happens in their city, and their wall gets obliterated by this giant that is more than the height of their wall. And I think their wall's like 50.
Yeah, which is plenty high to keep most
of them out. Most normal titans are not more than 50 meters or 50 whatever really high feet. Like, it's a really tall tower. Like, let's say 500 million feet, so you get an idea. And most titans are like maybe
half a million.
So, like, they're not tall enough to breach the wall. And one day, this titan that's bigger than this wall, literally, I think his head is a little bit over so he can peer in.
Yep.
Appears out of nowhere. And just to give you an idea a little bit more about these titans, they generate slowly. So when we first see this titan that's big enough to see over this wall, you can see all of its muscle structure. You're just beginning to see its eyes taking its color and its shape. And it takes forever for them to develop their outer flesh. Titans look a lot like just naked dudes, but they don't have junk or giggly bits.
No jiggle bits.
No, they don't. And they actually discuss that later on, because they have not figured out how titans reproduce. Because
I have
they
theories.
Don't, yeah. You will in this series. You'll develop a million. But they don't have outward sexual organs, so they don't know. Humanity does not know how they're...
It's from eating people.
They don't know how they reproduce. But anyway, so shit breaks loose. Our main character is forced to see probably the most traumatic thing a person or an anime character would ever witness, and that would be the murder and devouring of your mom.
Hey, that shit's tragic. I mean, that's why Bruce Wayne became the Batman.
Yeah, I mean, he went nuts when his that was both of his parents.
And they
so just imagine if Aaron's parents had both been murdered, he would have become the Attack on Titans Batman.
And they just caught a bullet. Like, Aaron had to watch
Titan ascend the city. He had to watch his mom get pretty much pinned within the house. Her, like, legs were crushed.
After they had had a fight.
And he wanted to try to save her. And he tried to do the noble thing and tried to, you know, lift up part of the house so that his mom could, like, crawl out. But she would have bled out, I think, if she had moved because of the damage. And, of course, this giant. And, I mean, these titans are really creepy looking because, you know, they all have these blank expressions. And most of them have these really weird Joker-esque grins.
They're all quite euphoric.
Yeah, like, they are just happy to be there to eat you. And they don't really care that you don't want to be eaten. And this one particular one literally picks up, you know, Aaron's mom, who can't, you know, she can't kick and struggle from the waist down. And he snaps her neck first, and then he eats her. And as he bites into her, all of her blood splatters. And of course, Eren, who's being dragged away by Hans, who's a part of this elite force, is watching this happen. And he has now vowed that he will kill all of these titans. And he will rid the world of them so that humanity can rise again. So, I mean, and it's very dramatic. Everything is, you know, aired on the side of shit's going to go wrong all the time. Like, in any moment that you feel safe, you really shouldn't feel safe. Because the minute that you put your guard down, you are fucked. Literally. And metaphorically. And spirit. Like, you're just fucked. Period. There's no coming back. But there's a lot more going on in the series, and as I said, I mean, I've only seen 5 episodes, and I'm gonna spoil what I've seen so far. So, we've seen a time shift from the first episode. It's been 5 years since then. Eren, his lady friend, Misaka, and the, like, nerd friend of theirs, because, you know, trios, there's always trios in series, there's always groups of three, and the nerd, Blonde, Armin, have all joined the training court to become part of this elite group, and they are training, and they've managed to pass and become soldiers, and if you rank in the first top 10 of the trainee group, you get to decide what section you are going to go into. And everyone who goes into the army in this series is aiming to end up in the military police quadrant, because that is in the tallest wall, because there's three walls in total. And if you make it to the military police, you serve the king of all humans.
So you end up in the inner sanctuary and the most
highest wall, and protected. you are in luxury, even if you happen to be working. And there are some people who are aiming for that and that alone. Like, they train not to fight and end the situation, but to get to a place where they get to be comfortable and they don't have to worry about it anymore. And, you know, Aaron, in this whole thing, he wants to end the existence of Titans. And Masaka, who is very quiet, but also eerily beautiful, more beautiful than the other girls that you kind of see in the series.
Yep.
Like, she definitely takes the attention off of everything going on when you see her. And she's very demure, which is really odd for the intensity of the series, to see someone so relaxed and so calm and so stoic. She actually kind of reminds me a little bit of Lightning from Final Fantasy 13.
Yep.
But not Lightning. So it makes her a little bit better. and I like Lightning as a character, but I don't want to go into that because that will just take up the podcast.
We can talk about that after E3.
And but anyway, to fast forward a little bit, Aaron and Masaka rank in the top 5 of the 10. So they have the choice to decide where they get placed in the military. And Aaron has decided that he wants to be a part of this scouting team, which goes out and monitors Titans to try to learn more about them, to help humanity learn how to fight against them. And Masaka is just dead set on following Aaron wherever he goes. Granted, she ranked number 1. Like, she's the best of the best. She's great at everything, which also kind of makes her a little odd, because everyone's got their strengths, but how does she have all of them is beyond me. But I think we're going to learn more and more about her if she's, you know, human, because I have my theories about her a lot. But anyway, they make it to the second wall. They've graduated their soldiers, and they get to decide where they go. And Aaron has, like, talked up doing right by humanity and not running in fear, that he's managed to convince a lot of the other troops to go into the surveying groups to end all this and not run from it. And right when they're, like, beginning to set up for, like, their shift, the Titan from the first episode, that one that's really tall, like, taller than all the other ones, breaks through.
The Colossus, if you will.
Yeah, the Colossus has now broken a pathway through this other wall. Because it charges. He tends to charge and break through walls. And he's just breaking through walls to make it so that other Titans can get in. And this horrible, gruesome fight that they were not preparing for breaks out in a city called Trost, and people are dying left and right. And I mean, these are characters that we are now learning about. So right. We've already started to establish connections to certain people, and all of a sudden off the bat we lose like 3 of them. And you're like, what? Oh God. And at one point, Armin, the geek, is about to be eaten, and actually does get swallowed. Not devoured, but swallowed. And Aaron, being the soldier that he is, opens this Titan's jaw to pull Armin out before he is swallowed. And he goes to get himself out because apparently when Armin was young, he had found a book about the outside world. Because in this scenario, the world within the walls to humanity is the world. There is nothing outside the world but Titans. So it's forbidden to know about stuff because then people want to go out and they want to see it. And Armin put all these thoughts in Aaron's head about oceans and mountains and things that they don't see within the walls. So after Aaron has pushed Armin out of this Titan's mouth, he's like holding the jaw of this Titan, and he's all blood soaked. I mean, the animation is phenomenal. Like, I've never seen anger drawn so well or rage drawn as well as it is in this series. For that alone, I commend people to watch the first episode. You definitely
feel Eren's sadness and despair when he watches anger. His mother be eaten.
And his rage. Like, you feel all of it. It is very manipulative in terms of the emotions that you'll get watching the series. You know, and as he's holding up this mouth, he's sitting there talking to Eren, who is completely blank slate. Like, he's in so much shock and fear that he almost has died. And he's like, you know, Armin, you told me about the outside world. I want to see the mountains. I want to see the oceans. And Eren is reaching his hand out, and the Titan's mouth closes and severs his arm. And the Titan swallows. And that's what we've left off with. So as far as we know now, our protagonist is dead.
But here's the thing. Like, as I was watching the series, I never thought that Eren was the protagonist.
But he is.
But he's not.
No, he is.
But he's not.
But he is.
Like, if you watch the end credits are
Are of Misaka. I know. She's an important plot element, and also, like, a second, but she's not the main antagonist. She's not.
I mean, protagonist.
Yeah, sorry. She's not the main protagonist, but Eren is. And it's really funny to hear that because, like I said, from episode 5, it looks as if our protagonist is now dead. And I cried. I cried at episode 5 because I was like, are you serious? Now, granted, I mean, I am a pussy when it comes to series that show us an average person ascending to greatness.
Yeah, because Eren is not...
He's your everyday. He has no special exceptions about his skills, but he has this strong determination to beat the Titan. That's all he wants to do, is avenge his mother for being, you know, eaten and murdered, and he wants to rid the world of Titan so that humanity can rise again and exist without fear anymore. And I mean, and it's empowering. It's seriously, it's addictive to watch. But I was doing some digging on the internet for this because they have leaked out some show notes for episode 6 a little bit. And we are going to get some backstory of how Misaka came to live in Eren's home because they are not related. But it also looks as if, because there was a segment in, I think, the second episode where Eren is like having memories of his dad injecting him with stuff where I was like, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. But from the notes and the rumors, it looks like, so even though Eren is just a regular everyday guy with no special ability, he manifests one through the injections that he was given by his father. And his father's a doctor, by the way, who tends to travel a lot within the walls to do other stuff. And it looks like Eren will have the ability, or will start showcasing the ability to control a Titan.
I'm sorry?
Yes. And that's where it seems like it's gonna go, because he is the main protagonist. They can't kill him right away. But from pictures I've seen in the mangas, it looks like he has the ability to control some random Titan. And at first, all he can do is summon it, so he has no control over how to manipulate its movements. And he'll essentially just become like a Titan whisperer and be able to, like a puppet master, if you will, and will learn how to control this Titan to the point where he will be able to use it to fight other Titans and the Colossus one that we're talking about. And I don't know how Misaka plays into all of that, but I know she's a crucial plot element and point in the series. And it's the music is dramatically written and scored to give you that sense of, you know, importance a lot. The pacing, I feel, is they are rushing in terms of pacing because there's a lot of stuff they want us to know and to interpret for ourselves in the series. And I don't mind being rushed because I feel like they are going to deliver such a giant, colossal, I hate to say it, story and premise and theme that I'm ready. I'm ready to take cliff notes. I'm ready to read the things that they put on the transitions between the blocks of time. Like, cause they give a lot of information about the world. So they're giving it to us for the sole purpose of hopefully someone reading it and absorbing it so that later on when something goes down, we're not like, why did that happen? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, even the bumps, the breaks in the middle of the series have information on them that are really important. Yeah,
like, here's what we can reveal to you so far about this world. So, like, they really kind of want you to assimilate and understand how civilization has come to be, what it is now, and how it's going to change in the future. One of the most interesting things about this series overall is this gear that these military use. And it's like they call it like the 360 gear, because it literally is these giant things that sit on your sides, and they have hooks so that you can rappel yourself through the air and grapple onto things and rappel yourself around, kind of like Spider-Man, but without webs. And most people in the military police will garnish or will brand these two swords. So they all have to learn how to dual wield. And the only way to take down a Titan, because like I said before, Titans only eat people. They don't eat animals.
They will walk through a forest and leave the deer alone.
And leave animals alone. But humans, for some strange reason, they are compelled to eat humans.
Because I think they need them to reproduce.
I think so too, but I don't know. But they also, you know, even though they're naked and have no sexual organs, stabbing them or hitting them does no foreseeable damage. They don't seem to have a lot of pain receptors.
They will regenerate.
You could burn one, but he'd regenerate. You can decapitate one, and his head will regenerate. And the only way to effectively kill a Titan is to mostly sever their head.
By the nape of the neck.
And you have to cut so deep so that the regeneration can't happen, and they die.
Which I'm like, if you decapitate them, though, then shouldn't that kill them? Because you will cut them at the neck.
Honestly, I feel like these Titans are taking a step from worms. Because you can sever worms, like, I think at best 3 times before they can't regenerate. But I like the premise, though, is that the idea... Well, I mean, it's kind of like Nearly Headless Nick from the Harry Potter books.
Mm.
Because he was nearly headless, but he wasn't completely headless. And that's the whole point. So all these special troops are learning how to distract a Titan long enough for someone to go in and effectively and deep enough sever that nape of the neck to disarm and kill the Titan. Because that's the only way to do it. As of to date, in terms of the world, there have been no sightings of any female Titans. And I do...
No, there are some that have, like, more female-ish tendencies.
But they're still definitely... Generally male. There have been no hot girl Titans with giant boobies for you guys. So you pervs out there were hoping that you'd see, like, 50-foot women with big bouncing boobies. This is not the series for you.
No.
It might still be a series for you, but not for boobies.
No. You will know within 5 minutes of watching the series.
If this is for you or not.
If it's for you or not.
Like, I think literally after the opening song, which is very powerful and dramatic and I love it, I was like, yep, you had me at the opening. I don't care for the closing too much, but I think that's just because I have not learned a lot about Misaka, who was the main focus of the closing song. So they show us stuff that's all out of context, which I'm sure will make sense later on down the road. But if you have a Crunchyroll account and you've already watched all the stuff that you're going to watch, like Just Say I Love You or From Me to You, then you know what, you might need to change up your genre a little bit, because there are some serious contenders this year that deserve your attention. And Attack on Titan, for me, is definitely one of those picks. So, do it, because Panda told you so. Because if you don't, I won't be your friend anymore.
Don't be like that.
Nope.
Don't be like that.
I will not be your friend anymore. I will dislike you on Facebook. I'll ask Mark Zuckerberg to make a dislike so I can personally dislike you.
Look, first of all, people have been asking for a dislike button for years. You have a direct line to Zuckerberg. You can be like, yo, Zuck.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be like, hey, Andy Samberg, I need you to do something for me. I need you to dress up like Mark Zuckerberg and have this conversation with me and videotape it for Funny or Die and then send it directly to Mark Zuckerberg to make him laugh and then consider my proposal. Because Gotta make the man laugh. If I can make him laugh, he'll do anything I want. It's not food anymore, ladies. It's humor. You make a man laugh, you got him. For life. Or at least for a week.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yes. So that's what I have been doing. That's what I wanted to share with you guys. I haven't gamed too much lately. I do want to change that up because some big things are coming up soon. So many big things.
So many things. Big size.
So big.
Oh, so big.
But if I had to say I was playing anything, I've ventured into LoTORO, which is Lord of the Rings Online, from our good friends over at Turbine. And it's free to play. And
free to play.
It is not nearly as engaging, or should I say as immersive, as WoW was for me. So I'm able to leave that fake reality for the real one. And well, if you're playing, then you should tell me what your name is and what server you're on so that I can play with you. Because I do have some fun when I'm fighting on Middle Earth for, you know, the hobbitses.
Are the hobbits going to Isengard?
I think we actually get to go to Isengard in the game. I have not had the chance yet because I'm still only like level like 12. But 12 is better than 4. But that's what I've been doing this like last week and a half. So what have you been doing?
I've been doing all kinds of stuff. Been prepping for E3. I've been trying to do some gaming. I've been watching a ton of anime. So I'm going to start on the anime. I'm going to touch on the games. And I'm going to end it with the movie.
Oh, really?
Yes. That's how I'm going to do this.
Okay.
So there's a possibility that I might not get to the movie. And
oh, my God. Then, you're being so considerate
of
your
sister.
I'm
trying really hard. But I'm just telling you right now, this is your last chance.
All
right. Okay? If I make it to the movie to talk about it, it's in the podcast, and you're screwed.
And I'm
if
screwed.
If I don't, you are really screwed, because I will be talking about it next week.
Okay.
Okay? So this is your final warning. You will have had, like,
15 warnings.
Okay? Seriously.
Yes.
Okay?
Thank you, Ninja. All right. I love you.
So, first up, I'm going to talk about the anime. I've been watching a bunch of new series that have popped up across the big three for me on watching anime, which is Funimation, Crunchyroll, and Anime Network. I use all of those guys and love catching new series on each of them, but Attack on Titan was one that I introduced Panda to, because right at, literally 15 minutes into the first episode, I told her, I was like, you need to watch this, because this will be right up your alley. But I watched some other series across all of my anime platforms, but one that I'm really enjoying right now is one that's called Gargantia on the Verdurous Planet.
Okay.
And
wait, that's the whole series title?
I just call it Gargantua, but it's,
okay, yeah, because the is it just me, or are we finding that some titles are, like, really long?
Well, you know, I find that anything,
like the rabbit with the red eyes on the hill, or I know I got that wrong. That's
yeah,
not
you did.
The name
that's
of it,
not
but
it.
But like they're making them long, like the star, the starry sky, blah 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 blah, or the D'Artagnan library.
We without wings beyond the
yeah. Exactly.
Well, I think
we without wings beyond the starry sky.
Yeah. You know, I think that for any of the titles that are coming from either a game realm or the book realm, whether it's a graphic novel or a manga series, which tend to have longer titles, because
I mean they're really long.
Well,
like, I'll be like, hey, Ninja, what are you watching? Oh, I've been watching Those Without Wings, Beyond the Starry Sky. I'm like, really?
Dude,
I've been watching Thundercats.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. Thundercats are always go. But I would just say I was watching We Without Wings. Like, we all shorten everything. I mean, most people who watch Gargantia just call it Gargantia.
Yeah.
Okay, but the full name, just in case you're looking for it, is Gargantia on the Verdurous Planet. And it's important.
Wait,
it
on the verge of our planet?
No, Verdurous. You know,
okay.
Like verdant with the green. And
oh, okay. So, it's giants on the on the green planet.
No. Well,
Gargantua, it's big.
No, Gargantia.
So,
just can't talk about it.
big.
Can I talk about
big
it?
Green planet.
Can I please talk about it?
Big green. Big can I, green can I
talk,
planet.
Can I talk about it?
Yes.
Okay. So there is a war raging in space. Humanity is fighting the Hideos. You know, hideous with a Z.
Right.
Okay? And they are like mecha bug like, very, very strong. So much so that humanity has been breeding soldiers for years. You know, there aren't family units anymore. Humans are bred to be warriors. People with less than stellar characteristics or traits are, for lack of a better word, flushed, and so on and so forth. And so the war against the Hideous is raging. And we meet our protagonist, Leto, who is an ensign who's done a cycle of almost 250 battles and is informed by his AI in his fighting unit, which is a giant mecha named Chamber, that he is yet again been commandated and is coming up on his first reward, which is to allow him to go back to the base, the big base, which is in space.
Big fat base. The big fat base.
A little vacation. And Leto has no idea what he's going to do because his entire life, as he remembers it, has been about nothing but fighting. So they're going into this next battle, and he's under his captain's orders to do so. And they are actually surprised in the attack because what they were led to believe was going to be there, as far as the number of Hideous that are there, is not. And so the battle starts to turn badly. The retreat order is given. And
the retweet order has been given?
The retreat.
I'm sorry, retreat. I sound like you said retweet, and I'm like, everyone, retweet this now!
OMG, Hideous!
OMG, Hideous! The Hideous are coming! Hashtag bad burns.
Anyway, so, Leto and his captain are trying to fend off the Hideous so that the last few remaining ships can make the hyperspace jump to safety. Leto, is desperately trying to make it so his captain can make it as well. His captain realizes that that's not going to work, and as such pushes Leto so that he will make the connection to the ship so that he can make the jump while he stands back and tries to hold off the Hideous and give the ships and the fleeing people more time.
You have Leto, no chance to escape. Make your time.
Leto barely connects onto the ship, so much so that as the hyperspace jump happens, he's not able to make it physically onto the ship and gets thrust in the time tube, if you will.
Okay.
As they're making the jump. So he gets spit out in a different point of space than the ship. He and Chamber are trying desperately to figure out where they are. Chamber puts Leto to sleep to help his body regenerate and fix itself while he's figuring everything out. When Leto wakes up, they're on a planet, and he doesn't know what planet they're on. And so he and Chamber are having these conversations back and forth, and it's very interesting because the way that they communicate with each other, it's almost as if two AIs are talking to each other, because Leto has no emotion. He's very matter-of-fact and just about the business. And Chamber, actually, early on, is the character that has some kind of character.
Some personality.
Which is interesting. And, as things move on, Chamber and Leto learn that they are on a planet and there are other humanoids there. Because they're in this dock and people are trying to break into Chamber because they want the technology. Because they figure they can, you know, sell it off, but they can't figure it out. And it's so far advanced from what's going on. Chamber is able to identify the language that they're speaking. He's like, it's a really, 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 really old dialect, but it's basically like a derivative of Japanese. And so he ends up eventually translating between Leto and these people. And hijinks ensue because there's all kinds of miscommunications.
Right.
Because they have difficulty communicating. But, you know, Leto pilots this amazing mech. And you learn that there are this planet is mostly covered by water, so all of the nations that are left are people who had ships.
Okay.
And were able to sail them. And so you have nations that are built of people taking their ships and connecting up to other ships and pledging their loyalty and whatnot, that they'll stay within the community. So you have these roaming nations of connected ships, and so you literally have these nations made of connecting people with other people.
So it's like Waterworld?
Yeah. And then you learn...
that Kevin Costner's not in it?
That Kevin Costner's not in it, so it still can be good. You're introduced to a character named Amy, who is very much infatuated with Leto. And the things that he represents, and just thinks that he's a great guy, and she's a, you know, general all-around nice person. And her girlfriends are always cracking jokes whenever she gets any alone time
with Leto. He can show you the world. That's what I get from that.
Amy has a little brother named Bebel, and Bebel is actually sick.
Oh, no.
He can't move around a lot and all that kind of stuff.
Does he have the measles?
He has something like that, but he's got, you know, a great spirit and is very positive and ends up having a really meaningful conversation with Leto that kind of gets him thinking that maybe things aren't necessarily so bad in this world. Again, because they're on the water and you have nations coming together of ships connecting, there are also those people who roam the seas who aren't necessarily about connecting. Those would be the pirates. And so you have pirate battles.
Arr.
So you basically went from space mecha fighter
to bodacious space pirates?
No, you water went pirates? From bodacious space pirates to water world. Pirates
of dark water?
To pirates of dark water. Because basically the pirates try not to kill people, but they just try to take their stuff so that they can
live.
Have more stuff and live. So to help, he thought, Leto jumps in chamber, goes after one of the members who's out scavenging the ocean looking for salvage.
Now, are there any animals in this water?
There are none so far that are, like, harmful, so it's not like a giant, you know, piranha, something or other that'll eat people.
Oh, okay.
But Leto goes to aid, and with chamber is able to, from the air, identify all the negative targets and using their technology, literally vaporize them all.
So...
in a matter of seconds. And then comes back to the ship and everyone's like, what the hell did you just do? He's like,
I just killed some stuff.
I annihilated the force. You're all set. And they're like, no! Life has meaning! What's wrong with you? And so then, like, the massive pilot fleet comes and they're like, we're gonna destroy everything. And so they're like, Leto, you can help us, but you can't kill people. So he's, like, holding them back. And so finally, like, the queen of the pirates comes out in her little mecha.
Uh-huh.
It can't fly or anything. Like, the mechas they have are nowhere near
as
Chamber is.
So wait, are they kind of like Libra mecha from Gundam Wing? Because Libras were ground units. They didn't do anything else.
They're basically ground units, and there are a couple people that were able to customize them because some of the knowledge of history and science has been lost. One of the things that you learn as you go along in the episodes is that this weird planet that they end up on is Earth. And
I was about to say, I'm like, they're on Earth.
And one of the things that's really interesting is that in the realm of the nations that are left in space, they have been led to believe that Earth was inhabitable, that it was partially destroyed, that it couldn't support life, and that's why humanity had to move to the stars, and why they haven't had a home planet forever and a day. And one of the things that's really interesting is that you have this kind of coming back to community and understanding and people and nations for Leto now being exposed to this group of people. And he's going through trying to learn how to be a human and have that human connection that he's never had before. Like, one of the things that he does whenever he has downtime is he uses his laser rifle to etch holes and basically hideous bones. And he doesn't really know what it is or why he does it. It's just a thing that he does when he has downtime. And as he's having one of his conversations with Bebel, Bebel looks at him and he goes, "Oh, cool. What are you making there?" And he explains he doesn't know what it is. It's just a thing that he does. And so Bebel's like, "Yeah, but it's a flute. Do you play?" And he's like, "It's a what? No, I don't play. What are you talking about?" And Bebel takes it from him and he starts to play a melody. And the moment that he makes sound with it, Leto has a flashback. And it's the first that you've ever seen of any kind of history whatsoever for his character. And it's of what appears to be him in a capsule with someone who looks like an older version of him, sadly saying goodbye, and then the capsule is jettisoned. And he loses the memory after that, and it just... the screen then goes right to his face, and he's just crying. And he has no idea why he's crying. He has no... he's never done that before. And so it's a really interesting series because it's kind of a journey to understand the human condition.
Yes.
Through a really interesting relationship setup. So I'm really enjoying that series. It's about... I want to say 5 or 6 episodes in right now on Crunchyroll. So you can definitely take advantage of at least the first 2 episodes for the freemium version. If you're a premium user, you'll be able to check out all of them. I highly recommend it because I really enjoy that. As far as gaming stuff goes, the 2 big things that I got to talk about. One is the Microsoft pre-announcement. Coming up on the 21st. I'm really looking forward to it. There's, you know, people are jokingly throwing around that Microsoft's going to be calling it the Xbox Infinity. I don't know about that, but...
I don't know why they would jump the gun and say Infinity when, you know, hopefully after...
Infinity means forever, and this probably isn't the last box from them.
Yeah, so it'd be a little premature to drop Infinity.
But... I'm really looking forward to what they're going to announce. I'm hoping that it's not just a software or just a tech demo from Microsoft. I'm hoping that's a little bit more than what Sony did, frankly, just because I think of all of the platforms out there, the one that is so close to being like just the perfect box
is the Xbox.
I think is the Xbox. You know, even though the multiplayer pieces are free on the PS3, they're still cumbersome and difficult to navigate and use and have a solid connection with. And, you know, while Xbox Live, you know, the good version, Gold, is pay for, I still think that it's worth every penny that I pay on it. So I'm really not too disappointed in that. So I'm really curious to see, you know, what advancements are in store for multiplayer. I'm interested in seeing, you know, what they're looking at pushing as far as motion play goes, where the Kinect is going to fit in for this next box.
I anticipate it's already going to be built into the box.
I have a feeling it's going to be built into the box as well. Or it's just going to be built into the bundle, so you won't be able to buy a new box without a Kinect being attached to it if it's not physically built into the piece. And the only reason why I say it probably won't be physically built into the piece is because the Kinect does have to move, and you either have to place it above your TV or below your TV. I can't imagine them creating a box that would have to go or would have the ability to go above your TV.
You're right on that.
I think it's just going to be bundled in. So I think that whatever the next box is, it will come with a Kinect. You know, you will probably have to go out of your way to buy one without one. And that will just be because they're making a box to work with those who already have a Kinect. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm interested in seeing, though, what they're going to do for online. What advancements they're going to bring on the social side. You know, social is a big part of gaming now. As far as the industry is concerned. As far as gamers are concerned, video games have always been social, from back in the day when you went to the arcade.
Or when you invited your friend over to see who could beat Sonic in the fastest time.
Okay, they've always been social. The more that you could add social elements in, the better, but gaming has always been social. So I'm interested in seeing, you know, what they're going to do different as far as implementing existing social platforms into games. You know, I think we all like the idea of being able to share what we're playing with our friends and having that show up in our kind of live streams, if you will. You know, yeah. Every time I look down at Twitter, my stream is filled half with people letting me know what they played or have been playing through Raptor, and then the other half are people complaining about what they're playing or pining for what they want to be playing. Because I love my Twit peeps. You are my peoples. But I'm really, really looking forward to getting the sneak peek at what they're going to be debuting and showing off at E3. I imagine that they're not going to do the whole kit and caboodle, because then they won't have anything for their big show, which is going down at E3, again at the Galen Center, Microsoft's home away from home. We're going to be live tweeting it for sure.
Yes, definitely.
There will be popcorn. But I'd like to know your thoughts. I mean, you know, we really haven't had a chance to kind of talk about next-gen systems, Panda.
Yeah, I know.
And since, you know, Sony's announcement, so.
Well, I mean, well, I shouldn't say that, because we had a talk.
You and I haven't
had a
talk.
We have not had our sister powwow talk, but we have talked with others a little bit about.
Yes, but we have not talked, you and me, about PS3 being PS4.
Right.
And Xbox mode.
Well, here's the thing, because I don't think, I know for a fact I am not excited about the PS4 box. From the rumor mill and things that they have confirmed and have not confirmed about the box, because, I mean, I've only had my PS3, I want to say maybe 2.5 years now, maybe 3 years now.
Yeah, which one you got? You got a Slim, right?
I have a Slim.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still in the infancy of having, because I've had an Xbox, my Xbox 360, longer than I've had my PS3.
Yep.
And I mean, and I really solely got my PS3 for the exclusive titles. Mm-hmm. So I mean, for me, I'm not looking to upgrade my PS3 box. If I'm going to upgrade a console anytime soon, and this is all theoretical because I'm broke. but it would
be. It's not that you broke, you just don't have any money.
It's that. Right, I ain't broke, but my money is allocated to things that allow me to live, like food.
But my money allocation is a set, trying to tell you.
It's like, it is like a point in time that cannot be undone.
I do not have discretionary funds.
Miscellaneous? What does that mean? Rainy day fund? Every day is rainy day in my house. Don't think so. Don't have it. And that's fine, because some people live like that, and I mean, I do. But if I was...
I'm one of those people.
You know, and when I do save up money, like, it's usually for something a lot bigger. So, I mean, when I start saving money for the next console, I never thought it was going to be the PS4. I knew it was going to be my Xbox. My Xbox is in serious need of upgrading. And fuck Wii U. That's not going to happen. I'm not buying one. I'm not, because I'll play with it for like a week, and then I won't play it, and then I'll get Zombie U and play that, and then I'll never touch it again after the second time that I've touched it. And I know this about myself, so I know that my money
is better. You know you're not
going to
touch it?
Yeah, I know I'm not going to touch it.
After the second time you touch it.
After the second time, because I mean, I touched yours, and I played the Mario game with you a little bit.
Yes, and then we got to a level that we couldn't figure out how to get past,
game.
And you're like, fuck this.
Fuck this game.
You're like,
and
you
I was
go
about
back
to throw
your
gamepad, and Ninja's like, it's mine. And I was like, you're right, I'm going to place it gently on your couch, because it's not mine. And my Wii is still sitting upstairs. It's probably gray now, because it's covered in dust. And I have not purchased a single Wii game in a very long time, and I don't see myself doing that for the Wii U.
Zelda? Zelda's not going to make you...
Zelda might make me think about it, like, a lot. But I don't know if... I honestly don't know if it will happen. And the PS4 is kind of the same for me. I don't feel myself going, oh, man. I mean, if they say PS4 you know, launch title, Beyond Two Souls, then I'm going to be like, fuck, I have to find money.
Well, you already know that that's a...
Yeah, but I believe that they're going to make a PS3 version. I don't think it's going to be... I don't think
Beyond Two Souls is going to be a PS3
version. It better be.
I don't think it is.
It better be, Sony.
Looking at what it looks like, I don't think it can be.
Fuck you, Sony. Because then it will suck because, for one, because let's talk about this. Because from the rumors that we've heard about it not being backwards compatible, because obviously the hardware is a little beyond what the
PS3 is. It's not a rumor. Sony said that it's not going to launch with backwards compatibility. It's a thing that they're working on.
To move forward into the future. Yay for you, Sony. You really know how to screw it to your consumer base. But in order for, you know, people to... You know, they're going to have to play a whole new bunch of games on this new box, but still have a PS3. So in my imaginary home in the future, I have a job that allows me to have anything I fucking want because I'm a boss of whatever.
Uh-huh.
And on my living room TV, I have my Xbox 720 Infinity Pop-Tart Central, whatever the fuck it's going to be called.
Oh, man, I would play Pop-Tart Central.
Like, whatever they're going to call it, the Xbox, you know, Electric Boogaloo combo pack extravaganza, you know, there. My PS4 and my PS3, all of them on the main TV? I don't think so, because there are certain games that I like playing on my PS3 that they will probably not bring over to the PlayStation 4. And the Wii will be in the garbage or buried in my backyard. So, I mean... I don't like the idea of having two boxes, having to have two boxes from the same company hooked up to my TV. I want one of each. So, I think it's premature for new consoles. So, I mean, that's why I haven't been talking too much about it, because I don't like the idea yet. But that's also because, like I said, my money is already finitely set and allocated towards the survival of my life bar. So, I cannot allow my stamina to waver because I want a new console box. It's just not in the stars. It's not in the stars for me.
Well, so. You know, I mean, here's the thing, right? Next gen consoles have to happen.
Okay. I know, but now, like right now, Ninja, like honestly.
Amanda.
Do you
know how many times Microsoft has just rebreathed life into the current Xbox 360 box?
Like, four times?
Okay, in the course of the time that it's run.
Do you know how many... I'm talking PS3, I'm talking Sony.
Do you know how many iterations of the PS3 Sony has rocked?
Like, four?
Correct. Okay? In the series of this life. Like, they've drug this life out as long as they really and truly could have. Okay? It can't really... How many more times can you re-slim the same device before you're just like, really? Okay, so it got even smaller.
It's the Xbox anorexia.
The Xbox hasn't gotten smaller. The PlayStation has gotten smaller.
The PlayStation anorexia. No, it should be bulimic because sometimes it will... be backwards compatible and get all fat, but then it's gonna hate itself and then not. And throw them back up and not make them backwards compatible anymore. Like, it can't decide. So it will make you do what it wants to do. Oh, I don't like that at all. I do not like the sound of that at all. Hard pass. Alright, so okay. Next gen consoles, yes. They're needed. Just it sucks. Okay.
Well, yeah, it sucks because they're going to be money. Like, you know, one thing that everyone's like is like, just make sure that's $299.
There's no way that the PS4/Xbox Electric Boogaloo Extravaganza Combo Pack Special is going to be under $300. And if there is no way for the hardware alone, it could be justified at that price. So all of you jaded fucking gamers who expect that to happen,
you just
can kiss my black ass because it's not going
to
happen. It's not.
I mean,
it's a pipe dream. Just. I totally had to stop what I was initially going to say right there because that would not have been pleasant for the eyes or the ears. But stop being assholes. Stop expecting great things for cheap. Because even good whores, even good prostitutes cost good money.
That's right.
You're not going to get a good fuck for cheap.
If
you do, then she's your friend with benefits and she's not a whore.
There's a difference between $2 sucky sucky and $20 sucky sucky.
And there's a difference between, you know, a $200 blowjob versus a $25, like,
That's what I just said.
There's, like, deep tissue massage involved. There's, like, a therapy session for, like, 20 minutes. And she makes you a sandwich before she leaves.
And you get your choice of condiments.
Yes. She does. She makes a sandwich for you your way.
So, anyway.
Like, for real. So, we need to stop, like, as a consumer, we need to stop assuming or demanding that we're going to get higher quality things without having to pay for that quality.
Now, with that being said, okay, I remember the backlash.
And I'm broke and I have the nerve to say that.
But I remember the backlash that we went through when the PlayStation 3 was first announced. And it was a $500 system. And everyone was like, what? No way. And then, you know, Kaz said some things. And people were like, F you, Sony. And it didn't sell as well as they wanted it to. And they had to go back to the drawing board. And they had to take some tech out. And they had to move some things around in order to create a smaller, slimmer box.
And mind you, people are still bitching about that now.
Yep, that they could get at a lower price point. And even at that lower price point,
they're still bitching.
You know, so I think one of the things we as a gaming community have to understand is that if we are pushing for new technology, better technology, increased immersive gameplay, those technologies
do not come at a cheap price,
especially if they are bleeding edge, you know, because they're not commonly used in other places and other devices. They don't necessarily scale, so it's expensive for these companies to purchase and put into a device, and that gets pushed off to us. So, you know, I am perfectly prepared for the next Xbox system, in all honesty, to be anywhere between $350 and $400. And there are people that are, like, throwing their nose up and like, I'm not buying a new Xbox if it's $400. Shut up. Yes, you are. If it has the features that you want.
If it has the features that you want, it has the launch titles and the game franchises that you enjoy, you are going to save up. You're going to stop taking your girl out for that fancy dinner, that fancy seafood dinner for, like, 2 months.
Ramen tastes good. Like, you can do a lot with it.
You could get a little piece of salmon from Whole Foods and put it in your ramen, bitch.
Okay.
You don't need to go out.
But I really...
Go get a box of wine. It will last you 2 weeks. That's what I do.
She did be drinking the box of wine.
Hell yeah. And you know what? It's fine because you know what? I'm able then to buy myself a video game every once in a while when I want to.
You know, but I think that we all have to kind of be adults because...
Learn to fucking grow up.
Well, it's not even about that. These two systems that are coming out are not systems that are designed for the family, and they're not systems that are designed for kids. So they're not priced for that market, okay? So can we first...
How many kids do you know have $350?
Can we first all agree that the next Xbox and the PlayStation 4 are designed for
adults? Yes.
Okay? They're going to be things that they build in that will allow you to do things with your kids or to allow parents to do things with their kids, but these boxes are built for us, so they're not built for somebody that doesn't have money and that doesn't have a job.
Not built for people who like to watch The Wiggles.
Okay, so let's first all agree and accept and be honest about that. Okay,
let's be honest.
Let's then take a step back and go, okay, let's look at these consoles as they've come out and what they've cost. Okay, and I don't think that it is pushing the realms too far to say that we're going to come out with a box and it's going to be a $400 box. We're going to have a $300 box option that isn't going to have this feature and it isn't going to have that feature. Okay? But it will do these other things. So if you don't want to spend the $400, then you'll have to spend the $300 to live with this box without this and this. Okay? And so then you'll just have to decide, how am I going to manage my money to get the box that I need and want? Okay?
You are the box that I need.
Because from what I've seen so far with the Sony box, even with cloud storage, and I think that the gaming community as a whole is not ready to whole hog trust cloud storage.
Yeah, because if that server goes down, everyone's going down.
Okay, so it still has to have a hardware component.
Meet me in the tab. It's going down. And clouds off. Fuck, man.
Okay, and even with solid-state drives coming down in price the way that they have, they're still not affordable to put a big honking one into a device yet. You know, 128 gig solid-state drive, I think, is still somewhere upwards in the neighborhood of a couple hundred dollars. So, you know, I don't think that that's necessarily the direction that they're going in. I could be completely wrong. But I fully expect the PlayStation 4 to come in somewhere between $350 and $400 to be competitive with the next Xbox system, which will still continue to be competitive with the Sony box, PlayStation, the Nintendo box. You know, I'm not surprised, and I won't like be throwing a hissy fit if they hit those price points, because to me that makes sense. You know, the PS3 didn't feel like a $500 box to me, but it did feel like a $300 box to me. The Xbox 360 always felt like a $300 box to me, because I sprung
from the larger hard drive. Well, I got mine for free, so...
Yeah, because I'm awesome. You're welcome.
No, my Xbox...
Your arcade.
Yeah, my arcade is thanks to you, but my Slim that I have was also a present from somebody, so I didn't pay for that either.
You didn't pay for your PS3?
No, I bought my PS3. I'm talking about my Xbox, my second Xbox 360, my Slim.
It's not Slim. It's the same size as a regular Xbox. Oh. They've never slimmed down the Xbox.
I call it a Slim because it was the next one. My arcade was white. And yeah. And my one I have now is black.
Yes, because you got a premium one.
Yeah. So my premium box was also a gift. I did not buy that. Someone for my birthday gave me probably one of the most awesome presents ever to get one. So, yeah.
Are you done bragging?
No. Yes. Yes, now I am. Thank you, Gino.
So, you know, I think the future looks really bright. You know, when you look at some of the games that are coming that we know about right now today that we can talk about, it looks like some really great new IPs are coming. I really can't wait to see what Microsoft treats us to. I think that there are going to be some really interesting things announced at E3, but I think the start of that and really kicking the rumor mill, like, double time will happen on May 21st. So make sure that you join us. We will be tweeting all about it. Follow us. Share with us. We'll probably end up putting the Twitter stream on our Facebook page there so you can check it out as well as we go through it. But I'm really, really excited about what Microsoft is going to say on the 21st. So, to infinity and beyond?
Right.
I think Disney might have
something to say about that. Xbox probably needs to have another, like, think tank about the next name.
And
I should get paid to make names for things.
And the thing is, they can't call it, like, the next box, because that was a project that Apple had.
Yeah.
Well, Steve Jobs had, and then it became Mac OS X.
Maybe it should be called Le Xbox with cheese. Like the Royale with cheese.
So they call it a Royale Xbox?
The Royale Xbox with cheese.
Why do you keep putting cheese on it?
Because I'm hungry again for no real reason.
All right. And then the final thing that I've been playing a bunch this week is actually a game that we have talked about recently. We had Sean Baptiste from Firehose Games on to talk with us about it. And it is Go Home Dinosaurs. And I've been playing it. You know, I had some problems doing it on the Mac because I was doing it through emulation because I don't really have a PC anymore that I can game on reliably. And so it wasn't really running great, but They heard my pain, I have to say, because Firehose released earlier this week Go Home Dinosaurs for the iPad in the store. And so I snatched that up mad quick. And I've been playing it pretty much all my downtime in between work, sleep, some foods, that kind of stuff. I gotta tell ya, I absolutely love Go Home Dinosaurs on the iPad. It runs phenomenal. It looks great. It is so much fun to play. It's still $4.99 on the iPad, and it's actually on sale right now on Steam for you to pick up. But I gotta tell you, I haven't had so much fun defending my barbecue in a long time. So it's definitely worth checking out. I will probably be playing it some more, as well as a couple of other games, because we're gonna get really caught up on a bunch of stuff. Like, I still haven't finished Far Cry 3, and I feel badly about that. I know it's awesome. I know I need to finish it. I'm gonna try so hard, but definitely worth checking that out. So, that's really all I'm gonna share. I could go into the movie.
Yeah, but let's not, because we're really close for time. We're really so pushing it for time.
I will, however, be talking about Iron Man 3 next week.
Which gives me 7 days to see it.
So this will now have given you 20 days.
I have 7 days.
Okay? You have 7 days, Panda. 7.
I know how to count.
Okay? That's one more than 6.
But 2 more, it's 2 less than 9.
Yes, it's 2 less than 9.
And it's 4 more than 5. Wait, no.
No, 7 is not 4
that's
more than 5.
More than, 2 more than 5.
Okay.
So I have more than a business week, but less than a panda week.
Okay, you have more than a business week, but less than a fortnight.
A fortnight.
To see Iron Man 3 before I spoil the ever-loving Jesus out of it.
Wait, Jesus is in it? Spoilers. Just kidding, guys. I haven't seen the movie. I wouldn't know if he's actually in there. But I'm sure there's some extra named Jesus who's totally, like, in it.
Okay, so prepare. And I'm telling you guys right now, because there's a shit ton of great movies coming out this summer. We will be talking about blockbuster movies this summer on the podcast. We don't typically do movie stuff, but there's just way too many. You know,
there's no way that we won't see them and not want to talk about
them. There's no way we're not going to see Man of Steel. And there's
no way that I'm not seeing Now You See Me.
Okay? We're going to talk about them. So just be prepared. We will see The World's End. We will see This Is the End.
I want to be in The World's End. Like, I wish they hadn't finished recording the movie already, because I would have loved to have been in that movie. And I haven't even seen it yet, and I want to be in it.
Okay.
I want to be in the sweeted version of it.
All right, the only saving grace for us right now is that Ender's Game is not coming out this summer.
Thank God.
It's coming out in November. Thank somebody for that. But it will be up against Hunger Games, so...
Yeah, but we've already seen the first Hunger Games.
Yeah, so I know.
So this might be a good place for Ender's Game to come in, because even though it's a returning franchise with Hunger Games.
I know, but how can you not love Jennifer? I mean,
seriously. I love Jennifer.
Oh my God.
I liked her in Silver Linings Playbook.
I want to be your best friend.
I am her best friend.
No, you're not. I hate it when you lie.
Now watch what's gonna happen. I'm gonna meet Jennifer Lawrence. And we're going to be best friends forever. And then you'll be like, shit, I hate when you tell the truth.
Introduce me to your friend.
And I'm like, no, I'm going out and seeing my friend Tim tonight. I'm totally not hanging out with Jennifer Lawrence. And then, like, there's a picture of me on Twitter hanging out with my BFF, JL.
And that's when I stab you in your sleep.
That's when you stab me through the aorta. That's just and you like, call it a day.
Just like... And we're done.
Ash is now over because I'm going to prison for first-degree murder. You heard it here first, folks. If I end up dead,
Hey! Don't say that like that. Okay, things could happen and I might not have anything to do with it.
If I am stabbed through the aorta.
Wait. Now you're just letting somebody who wants to kill you create the perfect murder. But because all they have to do now is stab you through the aorta and then everything.
In my sleep, in my house.
So? They can scale it? Damn. Why you gotta put me on blast like that?
Now, you're the one threatening to kill me.
I said that I might hurt you. You're the one who said that you would kill... That I said that...
No, that's not what you said. And we'll roll it back later. Everyone will hear your plotted murder attempt on my life. Which would also be the end of this career in this show, because...
I will end you.
I will equalize you.
You will be erased.
You will be deleted and thrown into the trash and then recycled.
Delete you.
Holy shit, that's real. I don't want to be Control-Alt-Deleted. That's permanent.
Yeah.
That's permaband.
Ban Hamill.
Wow, that was a really, really interesting ending to the
Thank you.
Day.
You know what? I mean, because sometimes you just got to go, whee! You know, just go off the reservation. Just let it happen. See where it goes. You know, I'm trying to channel my inner panda. I'm just, like, letting stuff come out my mouth and seeing what happens.
You know what? We both can't do that on this show.
Why not?
Because that's just pandemonium.
What?
See where I went there?
I like what you did there. I also like the stuff that you can find on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is...
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. The short address and punch is the long one. Check out any articles written within the week. All questions and comments should go to our Facebook page.
Facebook?
Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And yeah, this podcast, we do's it.
You can find our podcast by visiting the iTunes Music Store on your desktop, the iTunes Podcast application on your iOS device, or visiting the Microsoft Store and searching for Electric Sisterhood, and then hitting that beautiful little subscribe button to make sure that you can get our podcast the moment that we put it out on the web. But if you're not living La Vida I, or you don't have the Microsoft Store or a device that can access it, you can always
plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. However, if you're looking for us, we got a couple other people you should be listening to.
That's right. We put out brand new episodes of our podcast typically every Monday, popping fresh for you guys. But you can follow that up on Tuesday with a brand new episode of the Boston Bass Brigade podcast, co-hosted by one of our homeboys, King Baby Duck, where they talk about games, gadgets, movies, theater, sports, you know.
Boobies. Barbecues.
Yeah, that stuff. They
moon
do all
bounces.
That. Yeah. It's just the testosterone to our estrogen.
Double digit inflation.
No, they don't really talk about that. On Wednesday, you can get your groove on by checking out the Geek Aggro podcast, co-hosted by our homeboy Deuces Wild. Dropping beats, stuff you've never heard of, stuff that you maybe have heard of. You definitely want to check it out. It's all in the mix there at Geek Aggro. On Thursday, you got issues, he got issues, y'all should have issues together. The Issues program held down by our homeboy, the Issues guy. Call in, share your questions, what's going on. You got beefs, don't have beefs. You could have beefs with cheese.
You could have an issue about not having beefs.
You know, whatever it is, it'll be fun. Please be sure. Check them all out. And then for the rest of the week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, there's all the stuff that we write about that you can find on our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. There's all the stuff that we talk about on Facebook. Again, you can leave us questions. Let us know if there's something you want us to check out or you want to hear what we think about on a certain subject, share there. We are on the Twitters. You can check out all the news that is fit to print, so to speak, by following at ESH News. That's all the new articles, new podcasts the moment that they're put out, any kind of giveaways, cheats, and all that stuff that we do. You'll find those there, so make sure you follow ESH News on Twitter. And then if you want to follow all the people that make up the Land of Esh individually, trust me, you do, because we're some funny motherfucking people.
I know I'm funny.
You want to make sure that you check out my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and look for the Land of Esh list, and then follow the people on that list. I guarantee your Twitter feeds will have you hearty har-haring 90% more of the time. So with that said, I gotta say, Panda.
Yo.
What shit you digging this week?
My Little Hat.
I thought you were gonna say something else.
My little... What? Don't tell me you thought I was gonna say Snatch.
No, I was gonna say Pony.
Oh.
I thought you were gonna say My Little Pony.
No.
I can't even.
No, I have the cutest little mini pony. Accelerator.
You have the cutest little pony.
I have a cute accelerator that I wear now on my head. Oh, it is a little hat. I love it so much, and I don't care because I love it. That's what I'm digging this week, is myself in this hat.
She don't care. She
I like
loves
it. What shit are you digging this week?
To be honest, really and truly right now.
Yeah, let's be honest. What shit are you digging this week?
I'm actually really kind of digging Netflix. And the only reason why I'm digging it this week, because, I mean, like, they lost a bunch more movies. Surprise, surprise. Was that they picked up a bunch of Cartoon Network stuff, but they also picked up some old series that I used to watch, like Frasier, and they had, like, the entire run, so I literally marathoned between last weekend and this weekend all of Frasier, and that was really awesome.
Oh, back when Kelsey Grammer was actually worth watching.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out of here.
Bye, everybody. Treat your moms really good.
That's right. We record brand new episodes of our podcast every week that you can find and enjoy by visiting the iTunes music application on your desktop, the iTunes podcast application on your iOS device, or the Microsoft Store by searching for Electric Sisterhood and hitting that subscribe button. Or visiting us online at our short address, which is...
Wait, what?
Visiting us online at our short address...
We've already done that. You've gone in a circle. I'm supposed to do the RSS feed thing now.
Our short address, which is ESH.co. That's ESH.co. Our short address will bounce you to the long way.
I did that already. You're not listening to me.
I don't remember you doing that.
I just did it like 2.5 seconds ago.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm going to stop recording. I'm going to go back. I'm going to listen to it because I don't think you did it.
I did it.
I also like the stuff that you can find on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com.
I totally just
did that. Or you can use
that.
Our short address, which is...
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. The short address and punch is a long one. Check out any articles written within the week. All questions and comments should go to our Facebook page.
Facebook.com/LandaVesh.
And yeah, this podcast, we do's it.
That's right. We record brand new episodes of our podcast every week that you can find and enjoy. You're right. I'm wrong. I'm on crack.
Somebody's on loopity loop.
Yep. You want to know why? Because I was supposed to do the EGO now thieves first, and I didn't.
And
I threw
you off.
I threw my brain off.
I'm like, I just did that.
I'm like, damn it. No. I said the, damn it. But yeah, I didn't do the EGM piece, and I threw my brain off. My bad. I'll do the EGM piece at the end.
I don't do shit. when I do it, and we have tangible evidence.
Dude, you did it. I just
you
said
you got
I
Alzheimer's. Do I need to get you tested?
I'm not doing the spinal tap.
Because I'm just saying.
I'm not doing the spinal tap.
I'm just saying, bro. That literally, that was like milliseconds.
Yeah, I know. No.
And you were like, you didn't do it. You didn't do it. And I'm like, I did.